then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How
All right. Good morning, everybody, on this Sunday morning. It is very cold here in Tennessee. I hope everybody's doing well today. We are so excited to be with you guys. I'm over here in the office and Papa's in the house. And we have a sermon prepared for you guys today called Rejection is a Killer. Rejection is a Killer. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what I went through on the trip. And hearing the replies from you guys after you read my article about what happened, you are letting us know that, you know, you guys are going through the same thing. I mean, we're all basically going through the same thing of rejection. And you know, through family members or through children, grandchildren, you know, your church, your neighborhood. But it is something that the real church is facing today. So we need to talk about this, and we need the Lord to do a lot of healing today. And we need, you know, to understand and be sober of the days that we are living in. I mean, I'm sure Dennis will get into this, but, you know, the Bible does say this is what's going to happen. You know, children are going to turn against their parents and neighbors against neighbors, you know. But it is a very troublesome time that we're living in. But we know that we all have the Lord. Amen. And the Lord is what gives us the strength to be able to go through what we're all about to go through. Okay. So I want to tell you guys that the Bible College applications are back open. I've had people call me and ask questions because I had it closed at the end of November. That's when we thought we was going to start in December. And thank God we didn't, because, you know, we didn't know about going on this missions trip. But it's just much better to start off in January, start the new year off. So you can go on there on the website, GOEM.US, and, you know, go ahead and apply there. When we went on the trip, you know, it originally started out with me and Miss Beth. And but it didn't work out that way. You know, she had other plans, so she went her way, which is fine. But it did kind of hurt me, because when I went to the first location to meet the people, you know, I did that interview there, and they was very nice to me and whatnot. But, and I thought they bear witness with my spirit and stuff like that, so they sent me to another location, which was an hour away, to drop off the things. And I dropped off the entire load. You know, I was really happy to bless them. It was at a Church of God camp, which I have their interview, so I will put that up. And it was really nice, you know, hearing what God was doing there at that facility. They were like just a few miles away from where the biggest blunt hit. So they're kind of the hub of where the ministries are coming to, you know, to go out and bless the people. So it was nice to be able to minister to them. And there was a girl there that looked like she was one of the homeless people. And she had, you know, I could tell some sickness issues going on. And she looked at me and she goes, "I love your hair." You know, I had my hair down, which is all natural, you know, the gray and the brown. And I said, "Well, thank you." And she said, "I wish I had hair." You know, and I thought about that for a minute. It really touched me, you know, because a lot of us, we take advantage of the beauty that God gives us, like hair and, you know, things like that. And we, because it's not certain colors or whatnot. But she definitely sobered me up real quick, you know, because I was able to realize, you know, I really should be grateful for my hair. Even, I mean, I do love the gray, don't get me wrong, but she just made me see it in a different light. And so I asked her, I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And she said, "Please." And I held her against my chest, you know, that mama hug. And she just cried and cried. And I prayed for her. And it was a really good God moment. She wanted my phone number and everything to contact me. So I gave it to her. So that was a really good moment. And when I went inside the facility, which I'm going to do a video on this, and I will tell all you guys, you know, all the details about it. But when I went in there, I saw just two people that was working hard on, it looks like, you know, they were feeding a bunch of people. And but it was just two people cooking for like 200 people. And so they, you know, was doing that. And I asked them, you know, "Would y'all mind if I followed you to the location? You know, I'd love to get that on film." And they said, "Absolutely not." I was like, "Oh, okay." So what I found out from the first group is that mountain people do not like handouts. They don't like strangers. They don't like handouts. So you're not very welcome there type of deal. You know, my idea of rolling in with a truckload of supplies and hollering at all the houses, "Hey, y'all come over and get what you need," is not the way those people are. I learned a lot about that culture, you know. And so, which is why this next incident happened, because when I got back to the first facility, they were suspicious of me because mountain people are just very private. And they were suspicious that I didn't have any social media presence, you know. And I told them it's because I'm underground, you know. And they said, "Why are you underground?" And I said, "Because of the no-hide laws and they keep me off the property." I told them, "Look, y'all can Google me. I am 20 pages long on Google. I mean, I'm definitely who I say I am, you know." But they looked at my White House credentials, that didn't satisfy them, so I don't know. Anyway, so they kicked me off, and it, you know, really made me cry because I had just got a hotel. I was going to stay, you know, I had permission from my husband to stay a couple of days, so I was going to stay a couple of days. And I was back there to volunteer for them and help them because they were complaining they had no help and whatnot. I was overwhelmed. So I was just going to serve them and be their driver, but it is what it is. So I stayed that night, you know, and then come back home the next morning. But I did learn a lot about their culture. And the good thing is because of that, I was able to ride through a town called Newport and was able to hand out over $1,000 cash. And what I did is I would go find homeless people and then just bless them. And then I went to to, I guess, ministries that are feeding those homeless and bringing supplies. So I gave them some cash. And then there was this one homeless couple that we got a hotel for. We gave them food. We filled up their car with gas. So it was nice to be able to, you know, give back just a little bit, you know. But that rejection was pretty serious. I mean, that's why I wrote that article, because it opened my eyes to what we're all about to go through. And so I'm excited that we're tackling this subject today. So I am very happy that we went. You know, as far as the dress, I did have a girl that I was going to give the dress to, but it ended up not working out. So I still have the dress, but I'm believing that, you know, God is going to lead me to the right person over there that needs that dress. But I do want to tell you, though, that when that woman rejected me over the social media, what they think in their mind is that you are not real if you are not public in the global community out here. So if you don't have, you know, a Facebook page and all this, I told them, you can go to my website. You know, they didn't care about the website. It was that social media, you know, and that is what God told us to get off. So it is what it is, you know. But I am happy we went, because we was able to bless a lot of people. And then, who is that other girl? That one and some of it. Oh, okay. So that homeless couple that I met next to that homeless little feeding place, it was by the river, and I don't know if they was married, honestly. I know how homeless people are. They couple up like that because they're lonely. But I'm not their judge, right? I was just there to provide them some help. And but he was telling me, you know, that he had lost everything in the flood. And so they was staying in this little shack that was on the river. But they said it's about to roll down the hill, you know. So they were very cold. That's why we got them a hotel. So they could get a good hot shower, you know. But it definitely, and but she is another one that, you know, was telling me that she was a schizophrenic. And what happened to her was, is her mother died, and then they labeled her as a schizophrenic, and she, just another one that laid on my chest and cried. And I prayed for her, and she felt the Lord and all that. So she got my phone number, and she's going to call me. And so I made some good connections there. And also with the one that I actually dropped off, I made a really, that was that Church of God camp. So I was happy, you know, for us to be able to sow into the region. And that's what we did. So to God be the glory. Amen. Okay, now, so as I said about the Bible College, we're going to start that in a few weeks. I can't believe it's already here. And we're almost here at Christmas. And then I get back and find out that my kids are not coming home for Christmas. It's like, how much more rejection can I take, God? You know, I'm like, I need your healing so much right now. I'm just, and I know what it is. And me and Dennis talked about this. It's because of how we see the end times. You know, these young people, they do not want to believe, you know, that this is the end. I know that's what it is. And when they're around me, they're faced with that, because this is what I preach all the time, you know, that this is the hour that we're in and whatnot. So it is what it is. But today's sermon from Pastor is really going to minister to me as well. I need some healing as well, definitely. So yes, go ahead and fill out those applications, and then we'll start in a few weeks. And I'm going to focus really heavily on that this week, and I'm excited about it. And I want to tell you this too. When I had that confrontation with that woman, now she's somebody that has not a clue, and they were all, you know, big time Trump there. They don't have a clue of what we're about to head into. And when I told her that we was going underground is why we're not on social media and stuff, it really hit me what that meant. You know, which I tried to express that in the article. You know, what does it mean when we're all pulling away from the Babylon? You know, God is telling his church, you know, come out of her, my people. And social media is that, you know, because that is the, if y'all think about social media, it is the town square. Think about it. Social media is the town square where everybody meets. So to them, if you're not in this global square, then you're not real. You're hiding something, is the way they feel about it. So I was thinking, huh, you know, when the global ID, when this thing is, I mean, how are they going to feel then? You know, about people that's not going to become a part of the, you know, this global awakening, this golden age that they're bringing forth. So anyways, now today, Pastor and I, we're kind of tag team preaching. So if you would turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And this is what I see them doing to us as the church right now, because this is the Pharisees and Sadducees that were doing this to Jesus. And this is what they're doing right now. They're digging all the dirt on the church. And this is where the fiber for the cyber is going to come in. They're going to expose it publicly and embellish it, and or lie and make it worse like they did with the guy from Jamaica. But they want to do it to dismantle the church. It's part of their great reset agenda. But when you see how they set him up, Jesus, so that they could turn around and accuse him. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, Jesus had emotions? Yes. Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did it. He stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other one. So he even healed, even though he was angry. Isn't that something? You know, all of us in ministry, we know that this is required of us often. That even when we are completely exhausted, we don't have any more strength, God will still push us. Even when we think we cannot preach anymore, we're so exhausted, our mind is tired, you know, whatever, all the battles we're in, he still. It's same as Jesus. We still press on. Amen. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel, with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So the enemy plotted against Jesus, didn't they? And this is what we see happening as well. And I do want to tell you this. I told y'all this before, but I really see it now in an even greater measure. We are coming to that day sooner than we think of our children turning us in. Family members turning us in. Do you remember that dream I had about when we did our last 3-day fast, whenever I was at the mall shopping with Dennis, and these two guys in this black and white suits walked up to me from the FBI. And they said, "Are you Dr. June Knight?" They didn't say weird. Isn't that something? They said, "Are you Dr. June Knight?" I'm like, "Yes." They said, "You have been charged with anti-Semitism, ma'am." And they cast this TV screen over their head, which was as big, probably 76 inches. I mean, it was huge, so everybody in the mall could see all my accusers. And it was scrolls of people, which I knew was from YouTube. It was many people, names I knew. And they had turned me into the government for anti-Semitism. But the only thing I can do, and any of us can do at that point, is to lift our hands and praise God. Our time has come to be glorified. You know, there's nothing you can do. There's no use of getting angry and being mad at all these people who did that, because they're all going to go to hell. You know, I mean, what else can you say about it? They partnered with the beast. All you can do is just praise the Lord and worship him on your way out of here, you know, type of deal. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. Uh-oh. So, Jesus knew they was coming after him, but he still maneuvered, didn't he? He still moved around because he knew it wasn't his time yet. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. And when they heard what great things he did, they came to him. And he spoke to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude. See, this is why what we do is so important. We know what the beast is doing, thus we're maneuvering, correct? That's what he did right there. He told his disciples, "Look, I know we got a big crowd over here, so put me a little ship over here." You know, he's maneuvering. "Lest they should throng him," see? "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues." So he knew he had made a lot of people mad, right? "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Remember what Jesse said? That was one of the things that really stuck out to him, was how the demons act when Jesus is around. He said they completely just fall down and bow. And that's what the scripture says right here. "And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known." Okay. And I wonder, why did Jesus not want to be known? But then I realized it's because it wasn't his time yet. "And he goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came to him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils." Okay, now let's scroll on down here. Verse 31. "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said to him, Behold, your mother and your brethren without are looking for you. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother and my brethren?" This is the whole key point of today. "And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, this is my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Isn't that beautiful? See, you guys have family. It's us. We are family, those that love the Lord. Now turn to Philippians chapter 4, and then I will hand this over to Pastor. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Yes, Lord. Right now, everybody lift your hands, say, in the name of Jesus, we want to stand fast in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Synec that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. See, that is a blessing for all of us, y'all, is that we are in the same mind and one accord. This is what is so beautiful. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement also, in which my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, his family. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious, bride. For in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then go down to verse 12. Well, go to 11. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and this is going to be a key for you over the next, for the rest of your life here on the earth. Whatsoever state you're in, be ye content. We're going to have to be content. Even though it's not where we want to be living, even though it's not with your family members like you wanted, we're going to have to choose to be content. Hold on here. Okay, you guys, make sure y'all's phones are muted, because I'm hearing some back. But anyways, we need to be content and to trust the Lord wherever he puts us, knowing that the Lord has us. Amen. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things. Where did I go? In all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But this is the key scripture as well. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Which means we can suffer. We can go through this rejection and the things that we're going to have to go through in this world. Because we have to, church. I have one of my very best friends just turned on me. And I'm so sad about it. You know, right here at the end, people are making their choices. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing we can do about other people's decisions. And I told you, remember the dream of the bride looking out the window and seeing all these people trapped in trees where the tree is just beating them up with that spider web? That is what we're going to see. And it's going to hurt to see it. But we can't control these people. They're going to do what they're going to do. And then go to verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Our God knows. I'm going to sing you this little song. My Father, he knows what I need. My Father, he knows what I need. So I'll just stand by and watch him provide. For my Father, he knows what I need. My Father, he knows what I need. All right, so here's Papa. Sir, you've got the floor.
Can you hear me?
Yes, very loudly, yes.
Okay. I know you got the little speaker on here, and I had to put it underneath the blanket completely because it was blasting my ears. And I can't turn it down for some reason. It won't turn down.
Well, but at least we can hear you. At least we can hear you good.
Okay. Let me go back here a little bit. I guess today's message is very powerful because I know we're all, I think, most of us, from what we have been, people have been telling us through prayers and emails and letters and all that, that, you know, it's that time. We're being rejected by men. And to me, which I'm going to talk about this, if we're rejected by men, why? And it's the same as what why Jesus was, you know, rejected, because of the truth, you know. So anyway, let's turn to John 15. And John 15, the first part of John is first six verses about the vine and the branches. And then it's about, you know, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, these are all, this is what Jesus is saying. Ye shall ask, but it will, and it shall be done. So it's about abiding in Christ. And then I want to jump down to verse 18. And this is Jesus' word. And this is powerful. It's about the hatred of the world. Verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Let's just stop there for a minute, because we know that the Bible teaches that, you know, Jesus is the Word. And the Bible also teaches that it's the truth. So they were rejecting Jesus, they were rejecting his word, they were rejecting the truth, you know. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. You know, if you're of the world, you know, the world out there is going to love you. The world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. And last night when me and June was talking, and this come to me, and it just come to me again now, is, you know, the Bible says that all the world will follow after the beast. All the world. So right now, Lord, we just thank you that we're not of the world. We won't follow after the world systems, the ways of the world, et cetera, et cetera. So we just thank you, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us by your Spirit out of the world. Amen. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, you know, we have to keep the word. We can't back down. You know, verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. A lot of these people that are coming against us, do they really know the Lord God Almighty? Or are they just wanting to be willingly ignorant of the truth that the word says? Because we are finding people are willingly ignorant. And that's not a good thing. You know, we can go back to Romans, where it says that God will give them over to a what? A reprobate mind. Because they willingly reject the truth. They've been told and the truth, God's word. But because of the ways of the world, and they can't give up certain ways, they may have given up lots of the ways of the world, but not all the things. And that's hard to do, believe me. But, you know, if they reject it, pretty soon God just gives them over. I remember years ago when I first found that scripture and read it, I'm like, wow, this is powerful, man. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They rejected the truth. Is that what that is saying? They now have no more cloak for their sin, no more covering. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Wow, this is sad. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, what is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Let's go back here. I want to read this again. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written. You know, things are coming into line with God's word. And so my encouragement today is we see all these things coming to pass, just what the Bible says. So instead of living in despair and worried and fear and whatnot, we should be excited. Even though many of us, our hearts are grieved because we have loved ones and family and different people they don't see it. But we should be excited for such a time as this, that God has us here. And we've got to be so thankful. And that's something I'm going to touch on too. Thankful. And we just had Thanksgiving. Well, we don't just be thankful at Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful all the time that God's revealed these things, the truth to us. You know, the Bible says that the truth will set you free. Amen. So, Father God, right now, we thank you for your truth. I pray that the truth will set each person free that hears this message today from the things of this world. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Wow. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we thank you. We just got to be thankful for the Spirit of truth, which comes from the Father. And that Spirit will testify of me, of Jesus. That needs to be our testimony. Needs to be what we, you know, we have to get this established in our heart. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. See, we need to, just like Jesus says here, ye also shall bear witness. We have to bear witness because, you know, each one of us, I know, have been touched by Jesus some way or another. That's why we are where we are. That's our testimony, to bear witness of Jesus, what he's done in our lives. And so thankful that he's drawn us out of the ways of the world and drawn us deeper into, closer to him. Amen. John 17. And John 17, I'm not going to read this all, but I'm encouraging each one of you to sometimes spend time in John 17. Because this whole chapter is Jesus' praise for his own. Ain't that awesome? That we have Jesus. He sits at the right hand of our Father and he intercedes for us. He's praying for us. We have to acknowledge that Jesus is up there praying for us. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There we go. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world. Whew. Amen. I claim that right now, Father God. We just thank you so much that we're not of this world. You sent us here for such a time as this, Lord, and we just ask that you would lead us and guide us for such a time as this. Amen. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us all from evil. That we have discernment of good and evil, and that we will walk in a way pleasing unto the Lord. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 16. There it is again. We don't belong to this world. 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. He's sending the disciples, his own, out into the world. You know. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, through their word. Amen. But anyway, go through this chapter today and claim this prayer that Jesus prays for his own, because we're his own. We have to really get that in us. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah, find that here. Isaiah chapter 53. You know, and Isaiah is so great. I mean, he's, I don't even know, you know, where to even start on this, but Isaiah 53:3 here again, this is prophecy. I mean, Isaiah was prophesying this. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, this is prophecy that these people didn't even appreciate who Jesus was, what he come to earth for. They rejected him. You know, they rejected him. They despised him. They didn't appreciate that, you know, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. How many of you are in grief and in sorrows? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, for divine touch today of healing and restoration. Because your word says that you were rejected, Lord. Your word was rejected. You were rejected. The truth was rejected. And we can see that now. People have no discernment. And they just believe in half-truths. Let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And again, Psalm 27, it says here at the top of my Bible, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, the Lord is our light. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? He's asking. David's asking, who should I be afraid of? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. Though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Ooh, hallelujah. Yes. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Yes. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Or should we say sacrifices of thanksgiving. I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing praises unto the Lord. When all these things are coming against us, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. And when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. My God, O God of my salvation. And here, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Wow. How many of you out there have fathers and mothers forsaking you? Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the path, in a plain path because of my enemies. Now that's a strong verse there. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And I know I did a message sometime back about the way. That's powerful, the way of the Lord. Lead me in a plain path, a simple path, easy to follow, easy to understand. You just got to want to know the truth because of my enemies. You know, that our enemies are trying to distort our thinking. And I could go get into all kinds of ways they're doing that. It's terrible. Deliver me, verse 12, deliver me not over to the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Well, we can see that around, that's for sure. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. That's why we need to really be focused on God's word and really be get it in our hearts. You know, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Wow. In the land of the living. We have to really get that down. Believe that the Lord is so good to us. He'll lead us out of the ways of the world. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Trust on the Lord. Trust, you know, in the Lord, that he's going to bring you out of all this. And I've got something coming up here shortly that, should I say, where it says, wait on the Lord, maybe we should say, be still and know. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. And I guess a reference scripture of what I'm reading through here took me to this, to chapter 5 in 1 John. And this is about the new birth. It's threefold proof. Okay? You know, who are we? You know, who we are, I should say, and bear witness with. You know, we have to bear witness with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Excuse me for 1 second. All right. You know, we have to have this witness. Let's read this. 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loved him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, there we go, that we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and kept his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. Even our faith. We have to have faith, but to really trust and have faith in God's word that he's, that we're, you know, we have that victory that overcometh the world. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe. I mean, this is just so powerful. We have to get this really in our spirit before all this other stuff, because we have to believe this. We have to believe in the new birth, that it's threefold proof who we are in. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We have to believe in the Trinity. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, I'm just going to finish reading this last bit, because just a couple more verses here. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made himself a liar. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Liar. Remember that. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us to eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Amen. Let's say, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Ain't this awesome? The knowledge of eternal life. We have to know that we have eternal life. And that what? That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, we just have to know this. Let's stop there. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. And, you know, and when we know all this, when we're getting all this in us, you know, and all this coming against us, but we know all this, that, hey, we are what? Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We each have a calling in life. And for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Each one of us have been called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. we are more than conquerors. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, there's many charges coming against us. It is God that justifies. We don't have to worry about what other people think. That's on between them and God. You know, we know that God justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather than his risen again, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There it is again. You know, the Lord Jesus is up there. He's making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distresses, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? You know, who's going to separate us from the Lord? Even though all these things are coming down. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, there we go, we have to be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And can we say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, all they can't separate us from that. We are more than conquerors. You know, rejection will never change how much God, you know, our loving Father loves us. It will never touch his goodness, his mercy, or his loving kindness toward us. It will never make God further away from us. And it will not change the fact that we serve a God who turned the vilest rejection in all of history, the crucifixion of Jesus, into salvation for you and me. While rejection is painful, its purpose may be planned. God often uses man's rejection to redirect his people back to this will for their lives, or back to his will. That's why we have to really seek the Lord. You know, God uses adversity, affliction, rejection, maybe to get our attention. You ever think about that? Maybe so. So that we can hear his voice when he says, and let's turn to Isaiah 30. I guess we were there. Isaiah 30. Go back there. You know, this is the way, walk ye in it. Remember that? You know, in Isaiah 30 also, it's an appeal to turn to the Lord for help. Isaiah 30, 15 through 26. Let's read that. Isaiah 30. Well, yeah. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That ye would not, but ye said, no, for we will flee upon the horses, therefore shall ye flee, and and will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. I want to stop there, but you know, this is, you know, down to verse 21. And thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know, we have to walk in the way. We have to, and you know, that scripture in Philippians 4:7, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard over your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. My favorite verse. You know, we have to walk in that peace, you know, in the way, to the right or to the left. You know, if you're walking not in peace, you know, if you're walking to the right or to the left or whatever way, you need to be walking in peace. You know, you might say, whoa. The futility, you know, of relying on Egypt, or should we say the world or man. That's what he's talking about here. You know, relying on Egypt, relying on the ways of the world and man, you know. We have to, you know, overcome, you know, overcoming rejection, okay? I want to just go there a minute. You know, what's some things that we can do to overcome rejection? You know, first of all, we have to seek God's help. You know, creating boundaries around those who repeatedly speak negative words of rejection to you. I think there's some of us out here that, you know, family members, loved ones, friends are continually speaking negative words to you because you're standing on the truth. And they don't want to, you know, they're only accepting half truths maybe. They're willingly ignorant. You know, we have to create boundaries. You know, ask God for discernment in choosing those with whom you will spend your most of your time with. You know, if you got people that are always speaking negative to you, blah, 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 avoid them. You know, we have to, and nextly, we have to acknowledge this rejection. It is the first step in healing wounds inflicted by rejection. It involves acceptance in Christ. You know, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, and I know June has, about who's your identity in. You know, we have to be reinforcement. We have to have that reinforcement. We need to refocus and ground ourselves in what? In our identity in Christ. That what? We belong to Him. You know, we don't belong to the ways of this world or any man. We need to be strengthened, you know. So we need to include people, you know, in your life who genuinely affirm and love you. You know, trust in the Word of God. And then forgiveness. You know, those who reject us, who reject the Word, they reject the truth. We have to have that heart of forgiveness because it helps us, you know, it prevents us from bitterness and resentment. You know, we have to have compassion. Forgiveness also positions us to observe God's redemptive work in this situation. You know, when we pray for those who, you know, who are rejecting us and all this stuff, you know, we have to trust, you know, that the Lord's going to work in this situation, that He's going to redeem, You know, he's our redeemer. We just pray and ask that he will redeem those that are lost, those that are going not by the way, those who are rejecting truth, you know. And then next, we need to be very thankful. You know, we need to acknowledge God's sovereign work, you know, in these circumstances. You know, those painful rejections, you know, though they're, you know, we have to redirect our path. You know, we have to be more sensitized in our hearts to, you might say, and have a attitude adjustment. You know, if we have an attitude against these people that are coming against us, you know, negatively, like they're speaking against us, no, we need an attitude adjustment. I know we all need to work on that, you know, and being thankful that God brings healing much more quickly than what, you know, we ever expected. You know, when we have that forgiving hearts and thankful hearts. And so, you know, we have to, you know, overcome rejection by belonging. Again, back to Isaiah 43. You know, and then again, reading so many different passages, such as Isaiah 43 and 1, you know, we can only hope, pray, and trust in the Lord. And may our wounded hearts be melted away like healing balm. The sting of rejection in our minds should draw us into a place of comfort and belonging. That's why we have to renew our mind in the Word. The most important of all, unto the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us with what? An unfailing love, which will never cast us out. You know, we must confess his presence is available to us, lifting our spirit and helping us with power and grace. Learning the power of stillness. You know, listening to that still small voice. So we need to get quiet before the Lord, and I know I need to work on this. You know, so that we can hear his voice and view ourselves, others, and our surroundings, what? Through his eyes. Lord, show us what you want us to see. How do we deal with these circumstances that we're in? This rejection. You know, rejection is a liar. You know, it may steal the truth of your value in God's eyes. You know, you feel all rejected. Oh, you know, and maybe it's me, you know. But no, that rejection, you know, God doesn't value you by what other people think of you. Don't let it hold you in a place of striving for value and acceptance. No, the lies of rejection often lead to a loss of their sense of belonging, implying you are flawed and unworthy of inclusion. You know, you're flawed, you're unworthy, you're not accepted in the beloved, you're not family. That's a liar from the pits of hell. But you know, that's not what the Lord says, who he created you and me. You know, it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Again, Isaiah 43:1. There are many stories of rejection highlighting the hope of overcomers. And there's a lot of different stories in the Bible about different people who rejected, but they were overcomers, and that's what we need to be. You know, again, the ultimate rejection was, of course, the Lord Jesus. He was despised and rejected of man, Isaiah 53:3. Though many believed on him and loved him, many more hated him and rejected him. And many of them relentlessly pursued. You know, he was pursued by religious leaders with the express desire of trapping him and discrediting him. But he endured countless questions and even insults. His own brethren mocked and insulted him. John 7:1-5. Jesus scorned. The Jews. They scorned his deity, who he was. You know, he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God. And these Jews, they scorned his deity, calling him illegitimate. John 8:34-41. Many of the crowd simply dismissed him. He was betrayed by one of his own. And all but one of his disciples deserted him when he was arrested. Remember when they took him away and arrested him? They all run away and they deserted him. Sometimes we may feel that way. Wow. But, you know, Jesus, fully human, experienced the same pain of rejection as you and me. Yet he continued steadfast in the work of the Father, never forsaking his ability, his abiding dependence on the Father. Wow. That's powerful, ain't it? You know, how many times did he always go quietly in himself and pray to the Father, or he spoke out and acknowledged his Father so that other people would know? So when we suffer rejection to the work God has called us to accomplish, we must lean into his abiding presence in full dependence on what? The Holy Spirit. Clinging to an eternal perspective. I want to say that again. We have to cling to this eternal perspective. What's happening down here is nothing compared to eternity. Just that alone should give us power and strength and encouragement and hope. You know, we can overcome rejection with this belonging, knowing our identity in Christ. You know, and truly, you know, overcoming rejection, what? Requires a mindset changed, focused on eternal purpose and belonging to God. So we have to, you know, gently meditate on his word. Ponder on it. Think about it. Asking the Holy Spirit to guide us through the pain to resting in the belonging you have in Christ. Empowering us to face rejection, channeling that pain into the strength to grow more personally, becoming all God intended for us. Restoring our joy and confidence in the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Mark 3, where June touched on this. You know, in Mark 3, And verse 5, I'm not going to read this all. I'm just going to highlight a couple things. When June was reading this, I thought, wow, yeah. You know, verse 5. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for hardness of their hearts, he saith unto man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as another. You know, we have to press on, is what come to me when she was reading this. You know, we have to press on like Jesus did, even though, you know, it says that he had anger, you know, because of even the hardness of their hearts, he still healed. He stretched forth and he healed people. We need that restoration for others. Maybe that little miracle when people will look at us a little differently and go, I think they have something here. In verse 6, the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Again, you know, they were plotting against him. They were plotting against what? The truth. These Pharisees, these religious people, these leaders. And we can see some of that today also coming against us. And then here, this verse 7, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and with a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea. You know, Jesus withdrew himself. You know, and sometimes we need to do that. We just need to withdraw ourselves from these people who are coming, you know, the ways of the world and everything, and just get away. You know, get into the Word. Build ourselves up. Amen. Verse 12, and he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And that June mentioned that too. Wow. Why did they not make him known? Because, you know, it wasn't Jesus' time yet. And I was thinking about that. But what about us? What about each one of us? Is it our time now, though? So we need to ponder that and ask God in prayer, Lord, is it our time to shine? I believe it is. We have to shine. We have to, you know, have that light in all the darkness. It's our time now. You know, we have to have that testimony and that witness. We have to bear witness. Amen. Let's go down to verse 31. And this is really good. Jesus' true kin. And there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him calling. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. You know, they were seeking for Jesus. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Are my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Wow. Look at that word, behold. Look around about out there in the ways of the world. Who is your mother? Who is your brethren? Ponder that. Think about that. Is it those people that reject you? No. For to whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Those are some powerful words there. Wow. You know, We have to behold, look around, see who is our mother and our brother. Sometimes it might not be those who rejecting us, because they're rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting truth. This is hard to say, this man. But it's something we have to think about, because the times are getting that way. And I'm going to end with this verse. This is one of my favorite. Let's turn to Psalm 133. And this is one of my best songs, my favorite psalms. I know I've read this to you before when we all get together, for, you know, in our church family, because you guys all mean so much to us. You know, and far and wide, you know, we got people. June was talking this morning, you know, since she's got that website going. And I encourage each of you to go to that website and check it out. But she's just off the top of the list. There's 7 different countries, different nations that are visiting that website. People are wanting the truth. They're tired of being lied to, deceived through what I call the satanic propaganda machine. TV, radio, different ministries, the news, all that. But let's read this, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointment upon even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Wow, that's a lot of oil. That's a lot of anointing. You know? That unity, that oil of unity that we all have, you know, man, that's, Lord, pour it out on us right now, Lord. Pour that anointment, that anointing oil upon each one of us as we dwell together in unity of truth that sets us free from rejection. It's a liar from the pits of hell. As the dew on Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commandeth the blessings, even life forevermore. Wow. That dew is favor. I just kind of look at that right now. I'm thinking about that dew, that favor of the Lord. That sweet favor that we have of the Lord when we just want the truth, Lord. Because that's what we all have, that hope and trust in the Lord. That's, Lord, just build our faith in you. So, Father God, right now, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for this message, that it will go far and wide into ears that need to hear this message, Lord. That any of this rejection is coming against them by family, friends, loved ones, other ministries, whatever, I command that rejection, that spirit of rejection, be cast down to the pits of hell. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. So we just thank you, Lord. And we praise you right now, Lord, that we come together in unity of faith and trust you only. No man do we trust in but you, Lord. I pray out you pour out your spirit of unity and joy, happiness, peace in the Holy Ghost right now to each ear that hears, that they will be strengthened, encouraged, and built up on their most holy faith to stand against the liar, the devil. We have a more awesome God. We have a more awesome promise in the Lord. Amen. And amen. So I thank everybody today for joining us. And I hope this will encourage you to stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor. I tell you what, that was such a good sermon. I'm telling you, you just get better every week because you showed us how our eternal home is our destiny. This place we're in right now is only temporary.
Amen.
You know, and if we can just keep that in our heart, in our mind,
right.
That we're not here for very much longer. See, this is where all the people are getting deceived.
Right.
They're thinking they're going to live forever, and it's worth it to them
right.
to stick with the world in the way that they're doing, but it's not worth it. What is another
right.
year or two?
Uh-huh.
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to look at a much bigger picture.
Exactly, sir. And the thing is, like Jesus, you know, I mean, it will cost us everything, you know, to make this decision. That's the sad thing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Jesus did it, so can we, you know. He's given us the strength, you know, to be able to endure what's coming.
Amen.
You see? So
yeah.
I just want to thank you for rounding it up so beautifully. It's just hit right at home because, you know, all the stuff I'm going through, you know, as my husband. But there's a lot of people on here right now that are going through a lot of stuff where they're rejected by their family and, you know, different things like that. So we're definitely not alone in this battle, you know.
That's right.
But I do want to tell y'all this, and Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and mute you because I need you to attend to the dogs. They're out here going crazy at something.
Okay, I'll check on them.
Thank you, sir. I want to talk to all of you guys a minute because I really believe that this is going to increase in the coming days. I think the rejection is going to get worse. And, you know, Trump just chose this guy to be his securities manager. This guy is over tokenization, which means he's a crypto king, you know, and so you just can't make this up, this team that he's putting together to bring in this new world economy and everything. And you can only imagine, you know, this giving out rewards like what Elon did in the election. That was just a prelude of what's coming. You know, giving out rewards and celebrating America for a year, you know, before they do the big celebration in 2026. And all of the over-the-top patriotism we're going to be seeing happen over the next year and a half. I mean, it's going to push us even further underground. You know, and so we definitely have to know that this world that we're in right now is only a temporary place. And our eternal home is what we live for. So that was just such a good sermon. I'm just so thankful that he did it the way he did it. He rounded the whole thing up. So anyways, I love you guys, and I pray you all have a wonderful day. And I would like to pray for you guys. I was going to pray a real long prayer, but he covered it really well. So I'm just going to pray what's on my heart from this point. Lord, we just thank you so much for our pastor, Lord. I thank you that he's such a lover of your word. And I thank you, Lord, that when he preaches, that is what comes forth. And I just thank you, Lord, for changing our hearts and healing our hearts this morning of the rejection that we're experiencing from many different angles, Lord. And you know what we're going through, and you know how we feel. So I'm thanking you, Lord, that you are the answer and the healer. And you are everything to us, Lord, to help us to finish. And we know that with you being our identity, that we know that once we know for sure who we are in you, that will carry us. And I thank you, too, that you confirm to us today that, you know, to keep our eyes focused on the great cloud of witnesses in the Trinity, to keep it focused on who's really watching and not the earthly eyes that hurt. And I just thank you and give you praise, Lord. And, Lord, I know that I can speak for Dennis today as well. We thank you for our church family, Lord. We thank you for being able to even have people right now to pull close to and to be able to be like-minded is such a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless their homes, Lord. Heal their bodies. And give them peace and joy today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, we resume regular scheduled programming. Tomorrow we'll go back to our prayer calls every day. And I'm really excited about getting everything together now for Bible college and really, you know, focusing on that and how we're going to lay out that structure. And I really appreciate you guys for letting me be me. I just want to say that because I've noticed that since I've been here and I'm not having to do all these news programs, you know, that is so time consuming, I'm able to write more. So I'm writing now, and I think this is what we need in this hour. You know, I can write my thoughts and what I see, and people from all over the world are looking at it, you know. So I appreciate you guys for letting me remain being a watchman, you know, because it's hard for me to see this and to not tell you what I see. But I do respect what God wants, you know, to get out of the metaverse doing that, you know, social media, where they're taking over everything. So we just have a few things left now. Patreon will be gone the end of this month, and it will be all narrowed down to just band, free conference calls, Zoom, and the website. Those will be the only things left. And, but I really, you know, thank the Lord for, bringing us the people that he did to finish this mission with, you know, we're just going to ride out this storm together. And just remember what I said about, or that dream that God gave me about, you know, the bride that looked out the window and saw all them people getting trapped, those animals in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's the saddest thing, is to see those that you love trapped in that tree. Now, of course, you know, we have authority, like with our family and stuff, and we can pray like I did the other night over my kids. Got up at 2:00 in the morning, went in the living room, went to town, told that devil, no, you take your hands. I mean, I've fought. You know, but they still made the choice they did about Christmas. I mean, my eyes, you know, may not see. But I still trust and believe God that, you know, he's going to work on my children, whether I'm here or not. You see what I mean? Just because we see them doing different doesn't mean it changes our prayers. You know, we keep our focus on what God says they are because we're in a battle. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with my children. My battle is with the demons that want to take their souls, you know. And then this is what we're up against. We're up against, and I feel this way, especially since our future president, again, is partnering with all these satanic people. You know, the witchcraft that he's partnering with on a global level. I mean, you talking about a battle we're having in prayer. Just imagine what it's going to be when he takes office. See what I mean? We're talking the highest warlock in the land coming on the, you know, one of the highest offices in our land. So, you know, we're going to need to have more prayer meetings, fastings, prayings, you know, type of deal, because it's definitely increasing. But God chose us to live here. Every one of us. With all of our weird quirks and our battles and our trials and who we are and everything, but he still chose us, you know, so we just got to trust that he knows what he's doing. Amen. All right, so I will talk to you guys in the morning. Y'all have a wonderful, blessed day. God bless.